All right, this is a testimony of John Sink, right?
Right.
Right. Well, John, it's good to be able to have a chat with you. Maybe you can introduce yourself, who you are, where you live, and then just tell us your story about how you, what your walk with God is.
Sure, I'd love to do that. Well, as Dear said, my name is John Sink, and I come from a small place, and if you've never heard of it, you've never been there, and that's okay. Because if you're there, you know it. It's Lower Vaughan's. It's outside of Windsor, Nova Scotia. And I grew up there for the first 18 or so years of my life. I'm back living in Windsor near there again. But I remember growing up, my story begins without God being involved very much, except for through the influence of my grandmother, who was, I would say, a member of the Church of England, but not even really an adherent. She didn't really follow the teachings. She just had her name sort of signed up. But she did believe in God, and she did believe that you could say the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, and she would do that before going to sleep at night and sort of pray for her grandchildren. But she wasn't really a follower until I was about 11 years old, and we had a new pastor that moved into a different church in the community, and he thought it would be good to just visit people and talk with them and get to know them. And he came to visit my grandmother and talk to her about Jesus, and she made a decision that, yes, she had signed a card with, you know, a group, but she never really knew Jesus, and she wanted to. So she invited Christ to, and we really saw some major differences in my grandmother. She would go after that to people's doors in the community. There'd been a big family dispute for many years between two families, and I never forget my grandmother going from door to door in the community, knocking on all those doors and asking for forgiveness of all the people in those other families, and had doors closed in her face and everything, but she did what she knew she needed to do, and she was free from that, and she would go, and she would love to get together with God's people. She had Bible studies in the house. She would tell her children about the Lord, and that had a great influence with me. She would read the Bible to me. She used to a little bit when I was a boy, but still, when I was older, read the Bible and other books. And so with that influence, and of course her prayers, I made a commitment to Christ, and we were both baptized. She was 65 and I was 13, and we were baptized in the 1st of May with ice in the other end of the lake. It was really cold, but I couldn't chicken out because my grandmother was 65 and not well at the time. So what do? You know, you don't back out. You look bad when you do that. But I wanted to. I wanted to serve Jesus. I believed in him. I believed that he was the truth. I believed that I needed to be saved. I wanted to be in heaven for eternity with God. I wanted to know him and what life was like with him. And I followed along with the Lord till I was about 15, and then I kind of, through the influence of friends and different things and wanting to have a career in music, I drifted away from that, and I found out very, very quickly that when you're not doing what you know is right, when you're not listening to the truth, that life doesn't have very much meaning to it. I knew what to do, and I just chose not to do it. So things became very, very bleak, very, very dark. I would have nightmares. I would be very afraid waking up at night in a sweat, thinking that if I died, I'd be away from God. I mean, my mind was just going there. There was a lot of fear. I started to, not that I became an alcoholic, but I certainly started down that road by the time I was 16, and would have continued had not God later on interrupted. So that was the direction my life was going. It just was not good. There was no purpose, no meaning. I wouldn't commit suicide, though I had thought of it, but I was afraid to do that because I believed in heaven and I believed in hell, and I didn't, you can guess which one I didn't want to go to and which one I did, but I knew that I was totally walking in absolute disobedience to God. I knew that as sure as I knew anything, and that scared me. I didn't want to leave the world in that state. And why it took me 3 years to 4 years to change my mind, I don't know, but it did. I could always hear this little voice lying to me, saying God won't listen to you anyway. You've betrayed trust. You've broken that. And who in the church would listen to you anyway? You know, they know that you've lied. And so I didn't even want to face the people in the church, even though they were praying for me and loved me and encouraged me to come back. I just didn't want to listen to that. I was afraid. they won't trust me. They won't. But I remember getting a phone call at night when I was with my girlfriend, Shannon, who is my wife now. But a friend of ours had committed suicide, and that really started a chain of thought in my mind that, you know, what happened to Mark? Because he was a happy guy, and he was even, you know, concerned about other people, but not Mark. I mean, he's a happy guy, jovial, but apparently he wasn't. And I wasn't in any condition to have offered Mark anything. And I knew what he needed. I knew he needed Jesus, but I couldn't offer that to him because I wasn't living that way myself. I had no credibility. And so it started me really thinking, and it took me to a point where I stood under the window in Shannon's father's home, and I said, God, if you want me back, if there's hope, if there's anything I can do to make a difference, and you can speak to me, then you want me to come back to you, and you want me to follow you, and you're okay with that, you let me know. And 2 days later, I got a telephone call from an elder in the church, and he told me that David Morris, who was a man of God that I deeply respected as a boy, was there and preaching evangelistic meetings, and I had to come. And I thought, that if that's not an answer, because I hadn't heard from this man in a long time, and I said, if that's not God speaking to me, then I don't know what it is. And I was very excited about that. That gave me great confidence. And I went to the church that night, and I couldn't wait till David Morris was done preaching, because I already made up my mind what I was going to do. I was going to rededicate my life to Jesus, and I was going to follow him. And that's what I did. And that was at the age of 18. And you might think, well, 15 to 18, that's awful young. But it's not too young to know that there's nothing to live for in this world unless it's for Jesus. There's just nothing there. And so slowly things began to change. And by my 19th birthday, a lot took place. I was married. I had been living with Shannon. She had given her life to Christ as well. And we decided we're going to do the right thing. So by the time I was 19, I was already married. And on my 19th birthday, it took me a while to do it, but that was the last time I had any kind of predisposition to want to drink. I gave that up. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I know God doesn't want me to be a slave to anything like that, so I'll let him take it. And he did, and I didn't need it after that at all. Never needed it. And life has been so different. There was, of course, being married so young, there was great challenges in our marriage, but I thank God that within 5 weeks I will have been married now for 20 years, and God has transformed both me and my wife. You know, we've faced many difficulties, but we have a beautiful 5-year-old boy who is an absolute miracle that we adopted right from birth, and that's totally the hand of God, another story. My wife has the joy and the peace that has come into her life from hurts of the past, and the joy in our marriage. I just thank God for that. No matter what we face, it's not that difficulties don't come, but there's something solid and stable in our life to depend on, and that's Jesus. So I recommend, if you don't know him, that you get to know him, to be introduced to this wonderful person, Jesus.
Well, John, thank you so much for sharing with us your experience. I don't know, do you mind if I ask you about your blindness?
No, go ahead. Absolutely.
When did that occur in your life, and how did it affect you?
Well, I had congenital cancer in my eyes. It was on the retina. I inherited that from my mother. That's the congenital part of it. But so by the time I was about 14 months, I believe, my parents were noticing that my vision was not good. There was something there that didn't seem to be quite right. I don't know if I didn't have a lot of information from them. I don't know if it was, I just wasn't, you know, judging distances properly, or, you know, something was not working. So they took me to the doctor, and they confirmed that first in the left eye and then in the right, in both eyes, there were tumors that were forming. And they had to very quickly do surgery to remove my eyes, because they were afraid that the cancer would spread to the optic nerve. And once the optic nerve is affected, there were no, especially at that time, in 1978, no treatments or anything available. So very quickly, before I was 2 years old, I had two successive surgeries to remove both eyes. And I've had no cancer. I've been cancer-free for 36 years now, so I thank God for that. But being so young, the adjustment period for me was very quick. So I just grew up learning to do things differently. You know, the learning to do things by hearing or by feel, or you know, just by they call it shadow seeing, so you can sense what's around you, even though you don't see it. You can kind of feel that there's a wall here or there's a tree there. You know, you get that idea. And people are this far away, so just learn to adjust. Learn to read Braille. Went to primary grades up to grade 3. And it was called the Sir Frederick Fraser School for the Blind. It has a more complicated name that I can't remember now. It was in Halifax. And I didn't even realize, actually, how great the difference was. I don't think until maybe getting on into elementary school, because my parents never really emphasized what I couldn't do. They always just encouraged me to learn to do whatever I could. And I was very thankful for that. I think God used that, because it's made me maybe a little bit more daring than some to step out and just do things without, you know, thinking about, well, you know, it can't be done or shouldn't be done or couldn't be done. And it's also affected my perspective of people, because I remember people talking about, you know, not liking, and I mean, I'll use their term. I know we have political things, but please, you know, understand me. They talk about black people or people with different colored skin. And I thought, you know, really, I can't be racist in that sense, because I don't understand technically what color actually is. I mean, I mean, you can tell me I have a blue shirt on and you know, black pants, and I know that kind of goes together. But I don't know what blue and black are. So for me to judge by someone's skin color is the most ridiculous thing you could think of. And of course, the Bible tells us from one blood God made all men. You know, so. And we know today that there's only one race, and that's the human race. But I mean, even for me to think that way doesn't compute. I don't know color, so I can't actually judge in that way. So, but it has taught me how ridiculous some of those things can be, you know, from that experience. So you know, the challenges, yes, but you know, I've had a really full life and with many experiences, and I thank God for that.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. You can see spiritually.
Yes,
which is the most important part, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, we see. I think Hebrews says, you know, but now we see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. I thank God that I can see and understand that.
Absolutely. Now, John, not only you know, have you had a full life in that sense, with a wife and child and everything else, but you're also musical.
Yes. Yeah,
so
we love music.
You and your wife have done some, at least one album together?
We had one that we did a couple of years ago.
And the name of that album is?
It's called Crafted by Love.
Okay.
And of course, that's because God is... crafted us.
Right? I'll get your address from you, and we'll post that on the website as well.
Wonderful.
I do have that album at home, and I've listened to it, and it's great. You guys have written a few songs together.
Yes, Shannon has done a lot of the writing. And
right.
So I just come up with the musical part to fill it in.
And Shannon herself is visually impaired as well, is she
not?
Yes,
she is. Yeah, she would have about 5% vision.
5%. And yet God has given you great joy, a happy home.
Yes.
And so isn't it wonderful that our joy is not dependent upon everything going well in the physical world?
No, it's not.
It's dependent upon Jesus.
That's right. Absolutely.
John, I so appreciate you taking this time to be able to share with others what God has done in your life. Is there a favorite verse that you would... be able to say that you have
a favorite verse?
The word of God is good, but
yes, I love. I think the book of Hebrews is my favorite book.
Okay,
and chapter 1 and verse 3 of Hebrews, it's talking about Jesus, and it says, "Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person." You know, because people talk about Moses and how he saw the glory of God from the back departing, and they wish and they long, oh, if we could get back there, but. But God had said to Moses, you can't see me face to face or you'll die. But I thank God that now with Jesus we see the brightness, the full strength of His glory in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We see what Moses never saw. It's a great, great privilege.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you, Pierre.
God bless you.
Bless you too.